the ADVFN podcast with Justin Waite.
Welcome to the podcast, episode 319, and it's the weekend podcast. I'm joined by Peter.
Good evening, afternoon, morning.
And Shirley.
Shirley?
Only kidding, Stevie. All right, Stevie?
Yeah, I'm good, thanks.
Good. So, lads, have you had a nice week investing in the stock market?
It's been all right. It's been entertaining watching some of these little stocks fly up
yeah.
and down.
But hang on, ignore the little stocks. What are the big stocks? Well, Roll Dutch Shell, I've been scaling into that for last year or something. Yes. Ridiculous. It probably was a year. I've been scaling in for a year. I think I started buying about 20 quid. Yeah. And I finished my last bit of buying at about, what was that, about 16... pounds, no, if a fifth, no, 15, somewhere there, somewhere around there. So I can't even remember. I think it was 1575 was my last buying spree. But looking at the chart on the Royal Dutch Shell, check it out. It's gone. Okay. It's now. I got to say, we're recording this before Friday's finish, so I'm looking at it now, and it's at £18.40, I think it is. Mm. So that's a hell of a rally from £15.30 for a big stock, you know, that pays a cracking dividend. And
do you know, I think I literally emptied my savings account into that at the right time, didn't I? It was like bang on that peak.
Oh, sorry, I think you said something else then, Steve. Yeah, I literally emptied my bag into it. Oh, that's good then. At the right time, Steve, you picked the bottom, not the first time. Hey, stay away from that.
Yeah.
Like the Royal Dutch Shell. Yes. I complained, but we made up there. Like the Royal Dutch Shell. Yeah, so it finished up at 18.30, so that's quite nice. So, Steve, you actually did you get in there, right on the bottom there. I told you, see, long term, you're fine with this. Yep. And as we know, the oil price is bouncing a little bit. I do see it coming back. I think right now you could probably sell a little bit, if you want to trade the markets, and it'll probably drop a bit. You know, I don't think it'll go as low as everybody was before, but it'll probably come back a bit, and then you can buy it a bit more then and keep doing that. You could trade it up and down all day. See, I honestly think, I've got this theory, if you get to know a stock well enough, you can trade one stock for the rest of your life and do well.
Really?
Yeah, I believe that, because as long as you pick a stock with enough volatility in it, you can do really well, because you can just sell at the top, look at the range, sell it, you know, and then pick some more back up. And I think, you know, that's a lesson in that. Cause it's like Doc, I speak to Doc a lot on the podcast, and he does say, know the game. And it is about knowing. It's like a bit of it. The more you do it, the more you get used to certain stocks, and the more, you know, I know stocks now, and I look at them and think, okay, I know where that's going, sort of, you know.
But other sectors other than, say, mining, so mining and energy, those sorts of sectors, I can see that because there's lots of other factors that caused the price to go up and down so much. But looking at banking or whatever, obviously since 08, banking has had a real big rocky ride, hasn't it? But generally, that's not going to have that kind of rise and fall, is it, really?
Well, you'd be surprised. There's always something that tips up the apple cart. Always. I mean, look, we came out of the banking crisis, and HSBC, a while back, where they were, what was it done for? Something was a problem. I can't think what it was. Do you remember?
Yeah.
The share price dipped, you know. And I think if you want to play the game there, you just get in there and really crack
it. Yeah, I suppose in like supermarkets now.
Tesco's went from went to 155 pretty much, bounced all up to 250, you know, within 6 months, and came back down to 160. That's plenty of volatility if you want, you know, if you're doing even spread betting. But I wouldn't advise that. I've done it. And you don't hold any capital, so you can lose more than you put down. But HSBC, what's the ticker code for that? HBA or something? I got the wrong one there. Yes, but I mean, I think even big stocks, you know, can if you get to know the company. So how many companies do you own, fellas, at the moment?
About 8.
Yeah, 10. What are they, Peter?
Lloyd's. It's my biggest holding. Always has been. And that was good, the news that with the sell-off thing that he's now confirmed, hasn't he, Mr. Osborne?
Yes, so I think this is quite a good deal, really.
Yeah.
But do you know what, though? I thought, because I've sold off pretty much lots of Lloyds, but I think I hold 10 grand in Lloyds. And I was thinking, I'm going to apply for this. So the way it works is you apply for this, you put your email address in the government website, and they'll send you details. And you can get, when they announce this in spring 2016, you will get Lloyd's at 5% from the market currently, or 5% discount. I don't know how they do that, though.
It almost sounds like one of those supermarket promotions where they'll give it to you at a discounted rate, but they've already upped the price on it. So are they going to do that?
Yeah. But and then, though, if you hold for a year, because they want a core of private investors holding, not buying and selling, to keep it stable. So if you hold for a year, for every 10 Lloyd shares you own,
they'll give you
one. But apparently they're looking, they're saying £1,000 maximum, they're trying to say. But I mean, you know what? Normally you can apply for a bit more than that.
But they're prioritising the £1,000 or less investors, aren't they?
Yeah.
Did you see that? So encouraging lots of small investors, basically.
Yes, yeah. So, I'm assuming that only pay that bonus, a 10% bonus, on shares you bought through that scheme.
I assume so. It would be great.
Because I was thinking, do you imagine if they pay that? That's a cracking dividend, that is.
Amazing, yeah.
Because if I own 10 grand worth of shares in Lloyd's, nice.
Yeah,
so anyway, I put in for it, just holding interest. If it's just £1,000, then you know, it's all right, it's fine if you're starting off. You know, but you're not going to have a huge return on it. But
So will they give you that one share then every year, or is it just the first year?
For every 10 shares you hold, they'll give you one share.
Yeah. Every year?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm not really good at maths, so I have to sit down and work it out, but that is a 10% dividend, isn't it?
Correct.
Yeah.
That is a good dividend, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Plus, you get their dividend of 5%. So that's a 15% dividend, pretty much. That's good, isn't it?
Yeah. On paper, it looks like a pretty good deal, doesn't it?
What do you mean on paper? What are they going to say when it comes to it? Oh, are you kidding? We're not really going to do
that. That share is not real.
Are you insane? We just worked out at 10%. No, we can't
something.
Do that.
There'll be some little clause in there that'll be not quite as good as it looked.
Mr. Skeptical there.
Yep.
Yeah. So I think, you know, if you're starting out with investing, it's a nice, safe way to get involved. All you need to do is go to the government website there. Just type in Lloyd's share offer, government, and it'll take you through the website. Put your email in, and they'll probably send you something sometime in the future. In the future. All right, so that's your first stock. We've got 8 more to go.
My other ones, what have I got? GlaxoSmithKline, BHP Billiton.
They had a good week, didn't they?
Yes.
Oh.
A lot of recovery, haven't
they?
And Royal Dutch Shell, but nowhere near as much as you.
So check out BLT, which is BHP Billiton, one of the biggest miners in the world. They do everything from pretty much iron ore is their main component there, but they sell it to China. China is the biggest consumer of iron ore. China consumes around 40 to 50% of the world's iron ore, and that's why that's hammered, of course, is that China's slowing down. But if you look at the BHP Billiton chart there, you'll see a double bottom there, and that means that if you get your chart and select candlestick view, then you can see it goes down. It touched when was that? August the 15th. It touched 9.57. Then it came back up the next month to about 11.34. Then hit this head and that a couple of times over the next few weeks. Come back down again to 9.51. And then rose again. That's what's called double bottom, and that means nice bit of support there, you know. And you can see that with Tesco's over a longer period. You can see Tesco's share price going from, like they said, 160 all the way back to 250, now back down to 160. And you can think, you know, you could have been watching that and thought, if it goes below 160, okay, I'm out. Because that was the last bottom put in there. But I mean, essentially, you could have chucked your house and the farm and everything on that at that price and thought, it's not going to go below that because, you know. And so that's the way you could have played that, but I didn't. And what else do you own of note,
then,
Peter?
No, the other ones are all kind of small ones. Advanced Oncotherapy, which I'm still waiting to.
It's going to be a bit of time there. I mean, we jumped in earlier. You get the initial rise on the hype. Advanced Oncotherapy do these proton therapy machines, which of course are new tech, better than the ones at the moment that deal with cancer. But they're not in production till the end of, is it 2016, I think?
Yeah.
I was supposed to have a call with Sanjeev Pandya, which is the CEO of that company, this week, actually. I called him, left him, answer phone message, and he ignored me.
Well, I don't blame him.
So I may pull my grand out of that company.
that'll
teach him.
Yeah, that'll learn.
I did have a bit more in there, but I took it out because I just wanted to put money in other things. But yeah, no, I've just got a little toe in the water there because I think that could be a big company. And when you start moving, it'd be nice to see what's happening there. So, because I think it will. Yeah, it's a cutting edge technology, let's be honest.
Yes.
And they've done a deal in China. So what are the small stocks you've got?
Then the other two were CEB Resources that we talked about last week, or SEB. And then this week I've gone into Asia Met. Because I've been following that story, and then they had a little bit of a sell-off, didn't they? So I thought, well, this, you know, I'm kind of bored of waiting. I like the story. I think it's a longish or mid to long-term kind of hold. So let's start sort of scaling into it. So I've sort of bought a small position, as they say, in that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, Tony Manini. Tony's a man. Tony
yes.
Yeah, I mean, you know.
Impressive.
They are copper, of course, explorers, they're miners, but and the copper price is low at the moment. But he said that's the strength. What he did last time with Oxiana, taking it from 3 million to 6 billion company, he said he couldn't have done that unless he started at the bottom of the commodity cycle. Because when you're at this level, there are copper producers going out of business left, right and centre. And so he steps in with a bit of cash and literally gets a cracking bargain on a mine with a good asset. And they had on I think it was on Thursday, they came up with... So what happens is they do some drill tests and they test all the grades of copper, and they've upgraded some grades of copper. Very good, you know, it's looking amazing. And they had a broker note out this week. I don't know if you saw that. I sent it out.
I did, yes.
A broker note. And, you know...
Putting a price target 9p.
9 pence on the stock, and that's just on the one asset they have. Now, the other asset they have pretty much is 4 or 5 times as big as this one, and they're probably need to farm in, you know, some other partner, a bigger partner there. But yeah, but he fully intends. I've asked him, do you intend to do with Asia Met what you did with Oxiana? And he said, yeah. You know, so he intends to take it from a small, and you think it can't be that easy, can it? And you know, I said, what's in the way? And not a lot, really. You just have to go through, you know, this pre sort of feasibility studies and all these economic studies you have to do to prove it up, to prove it's an economically viable, and you have to go all through these planning applications. But he's happy with Indonesia, which has been fraught in the past with, you know, it's hard work to work in Indonesia unless you know it. The regulatory system there is not easy. But he's comfortable there. He's in Australia, so that could be a huge one. But again, he said at the moment he understands the copper price is low. But he said by the time it starts mining in 2017, the copper price should be back to what it was, you know, a couple of years back. So he said it'd be a deficit because there are lots of people, especially people like Glencore, you know, just shutting down mines again. It's one of the situations where pulling back on capital expenditure.
Yep.
But so it sounds a good one.
Well, one other stock that I kind of perhaps subconsciously missed off my list there, because I kind of ignoring it these days, is lovely Nanoco, which is a great company, and I still believe in the product, still believe in the story. It's just I'm probably about 40% down. So I was going to just say to you, have you got stocks in your portfolio, anything like that, where you're just...
Yeah, I've got Proxarma, which are absolute... The thing is, do you know what? It's almost... I've tried to contact them, get on the podcast loads of times, and they've basically ignored all my calls. And
there's a thing developing here.
Oh, hang on. Yeah, hang on. If you look at Nanoco, though, N-A-N-O, you've got a double bottom there happening, and that's a strong support level. So I'm saying 57 pence there. It may, hopefully, make a turnaround here, you know, so...
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know how much of a new story about that is coming out, but they do, yeah.
Yeah, that's the thing, isn't it? It's sort of like, how long do you hold it on? Because there's nothing fundamental to change, so...
Exactly, and I think, you know, as a private investor, as a shareholder, you are allowed to contact the company, you know? You are.
Mm.
And it's a good thing, because I know people who do this regularly, and they just badger.
Yeah,
you know, the CEO and want information. So I'm a shareholder. I come into an
AGM. Can I go to his
AGM,
house?
We can go to an AGM. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Just knock on the door. Say, I thought this was where the AGM was.
Can I come in anyway?
Yeah.
Discuss your share price, please.
Yeah. So what's happening? Just say what's happening with him. Say what's going on. But
So cake.
Yeah, well, I'd take anything you want. Yeah, take a custard pie, just in case.
Yeah.
So, fella, this is going in your face unless you tell me something.
Unless that share price recovers.
Yeah.
Right.
But it was up for... okay. Let's look at the shares in issue here. Because, it's all right. So, you know, 200... Listen, their balance sheet looks good.
Mm.
You know, they're quite liquid there.
Yeah.
And even volume, was the volume there today? 200, well, it wasn't a huge amount of volume. But, I think they're going to build from here, Pete. You mark my words.
Okay.
I'm not going to invest, but
but I'll mark your words anyway.
I'll sit on the sidelines and watch.
That's very good of you. Thanks so much. Yeah. I'll let you know how we get on.
There's a lot of things going on, aren't they? Or not? What's the last bit of stuff you've noticed about them? I'm reading here. LG will be using nano quantum dot technology on the 8th. So that's good, isn't it?
They've got their final results next week, actually. Their final results will be announced next week. But also, I don't know, a few months ago they announced they're also sort of diversifying into lights as well as... So using their technology in more than one way, basically going into a light division as well as screens and everything. So I don't know, who knows? But it sounded positive. We'll see what the results are next week. And it'll go to the roof then, obviously. Through the roof and beyond.
So during the year, the company's commercial relationship with the Dow Chemical Company, Nanoco's worldwide licensing partner for display, Nanoco received a $2 million milestone payment from Dow in the first half of the year. So see, there's cash, it's cash flow there.
Yes, and they moved to the main market, didn't they? So
yeah, well, I think it's, do you know what? I think it's probably a bit, do you know what? I may even jump in here, Peter.
There we go, see.
Change of tune now.
Following the fundraising that accompanied the company's move to the main market, Nanoco's balance sheet remains strong. Cash of $24.3 million at the end of the year. Look at that, $23.4 million compared to $9 million at the end of last year. So what's the market cap here? $24 million, and the market cap is what? $142 million. Yeah, so that's plenty of cash there, isn't it? Hey, that's right. One of the things you have to look at. You know, I came up with an acronym.
I know, I heard.
It's very, very clever.
Yes, cash.
And it is cash, yes. Yeah. And so what you have to look at is the C in cash stands for what?
Is it chief executive? No, that was head honcho, wasn't it, for H? What was C? It was like...
Steve? C in cash stands for what?
A C in cash?
Yeah, gosh, it's an acronym.
It's an acronym, yeah. So that means every letter, you know, it's the start of a new word. So
yeah.
So just to remind you, when you're doing research, the C in cash stands for my head.
For what?
Oh, let's have a cup of tea.
Steve,
is he still with us?
Steve.
I think Steve's head's brain stopped.
Steve.
I was watching the screensaver on my TV. I got distracted very early. They're quite mesmerising when you look at them for a long time.
Okay.
What on earth, Steve? Are you? Do you live in a golfer's bowl?
Pretty much.
You should do. Just you and your naked. Let's not go down that route.
No. And your friend? No, not his friends. No.
Fancy having a bed like a golfer's bowl, a sleeping bag in it. That's like Steve. I can imagine Steve just with a little castle next to him.
No, come on. This acronym. What was C? Okay.
Well, C in cash is a cash.
Yeah. I was. That was kind of obvious, but okay.
Well,
cash.
Exactly, the cash. Right. Just, whenever you look at research, whenever you research a company, especially a small company, small curb, look at the cash. Go to the balance sheet there. Look at the cash.
Yep.
So much cash they've got.
Got it, right.
And then, when you look at the cash, you may think, oh, they've got £1 million in cash. That's all right. But look at how much they spent the last year. So you can also see, sometimes they'll say, like they did with Nanoco there, they'll say, we have this amount of cash. This time last year, we had this amount. So you can do the math and say, so if they had $1 million now and last year they had $3 million, they'd burn $2 million in a year.
Yes.
So you think, oh, hang on. So that £1 million they got only last 6 months. What are they going to do then?
Yeah.
If they've got no cash flow coming in, if they're not selling a product, they have to raise money somehow. So you think, well, they're going to have to do a placing. That will dilute the shareholder value.
Right.
And if they do a placing at a discount to the share price, it's going to knock the share price. So it's always good. Make sure you're not investing in a small, especially resource company, penny stock, just before placing happens, because you will be diluted and the share price will drop. And it makes you, it's always good maybe to do, just get in there after one. And makes you try and buy the stock as close to the placing price as possible. Because then at least all the investors that got easy money there, you're sitting with them pretty much, close with them, So anyway, C is for cash. A is for what?
No, that's W.
What?
A is for what? Yeah, he's got a point, actually.
Yes, well done, Steve. Unusually sharp there. A is for assets.
Yes.
So check out what the company does. What especially, it doesn't have to be a commodity. It can be like Nanoco. What's the asset? What have they got there? And you think, yeah, it's good assets they got there. So, and if it's a mining stock, you know, you think, well, that's, if you see, they've got a huge amount. At the moment, there are small tiddler mining stocks with a cracking asset. They have a lot of, you know, whatever it is, commodity copper in the ground or something. And because the commodity's on their backside, cement sentiment is low, confidence across the sector is low, no one wants to spend money to get it out or buy it off them or help them or be a partner, because why would you? It's becoming, it seems like worthless, you know? But that will turn. So this is the time to think, look at companies, you know, that are having problems, but they've got a massive asset there, because that will turn, the favour will turn. So if they've got a big asset, but they can't do anything with it, because, you know, it's not out of favour, that's good, that's good. Anyway, the S stands for what?
Shares.
Yes.
In issue.
You go to any website of a company, you check out shares, share structure, yeah. It'll tell you who owns the shares, look how many shares are in issue there, see, you know, have a look how many directors hold them. This is quite telling sometimes. Mm. If the CEO doesn't hold a big chunk and the CFO don't, why not? Mm. You know, especially small companies. If they're confident in the company, why don't they have a big chunk of stock? You know?
But, so are they talking the game or walking the game?
Are they talking the game or walking the game, Pete?
It's a very good question.
Yeah.
Are all the major shareholders listed somewhere, are they?
They've got to be. If they're above all the major shareholders, I don't know. I mean, you know, you have to submit when you get a certain level, 3% above.
Yeah.
But I think, so they will be listed. And you can, many websites, but especially their own website, the company's own website, and check it out and see. And you can add the share. I often, you know, put a calculator down and add the shares up and see, take it away from there. And sometimes they do it for you. They say, you know, amount of shares outstanding in free float. And that's the shares that can be bought and sold by private investors. But yeah, it's good as if a big chunk is taken up by directors or investment companies as well, you know. So check that out. And H is for what, Steve?
Happiness.
No idea. I can't even guess anything.
Just give us a word beginning with H, Steve.
Hairbrush.
H is for hairbrush.
Yeah, almost.
When's the last time they showed a hairbrush in their presentations? Do the directors look like they've used a hairbrush on their hair recently? If their hair's all unkempt, then don't invest.
That's it.
I don't know. What is it?
It's my Ed Honcho. Basically, it means it's a, you know, I couldn't find. I wanted to put management in there somewhere, but that didn't make up the word cash. So, but Ed Honcho, essentially, look at the management, look at the main guy, look at his track record. You know, in fact, most companies these days, you can just search for the video of the guy doing a presentation somewhere or chatting or having an interview. Do he sound nice? Do you trust him? Look at his past record. You know, I just think it's worth checking, especially small companies. You know, they're the driving force by the company, and they can change the direction of it. So. So those four things, what I do is, and you get that right, you know, you do research on those four things in any company, and I think, you know, it's all you have to do, really, you know.
Good.
I want to talk about, did you buy Paternoster Resources this week, Stephen?
What was their
ticker?
Yeah,
PRS.
We talked about this before. Yes, no, I did. I bought a very small amount.
Yeah, okay.
But I bought it and it kind of leveled. It hasn't really gone down. It's just kind of leveled, but because of the buy-in, I'm a little bit down, so not much so.
That's all right. Well, listen, they are way undervalued, right? Their market cap is like 1.3. They've gone up recently, 1.3 million, right?
Mm.
But their investments, basically they invest in other companies, is that okay? In the resource sector.
Yeah.
But their investments, if they sold them to date, are worth double that. So it don't make no sense, you know. And you've got a couple of companies in there about to have some very exciting news come out. They invest in MX Oil, which, you know, they're going for a license in Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
And also NCT going for a license in Mexico. Plus, they have other interests in North America and stuff like that.
Mm.
Plus, New World Oil and Gas. Now, this company, I don't even know what's happening here, but the board of directors, there's a lack of confidence in the board of directors, all right? There's an action group set up to try and kick them out. They've got over 11% of the vote. I mean, if you have more than 10% of a company, you can force what's called an EGM, an extraordinary general meeting. And hopefully then, you know, you'll go with other shareholders and say, listen, we've lost confidence in you as a board of directors, and they vote on it, and you can remove. If you get enough people voting, you can remove them. But obviously, as it is, the New World Oil and Gas you know, people have 11% stated. But I've chatted to Ben before. He thinks there's a lot more people dissatisfied with the board, and you can see why. Look at the share price; it's gone down. It's ridiculous. They diluted it, and it's gone down, down, down. And it's got cash, though. The company's got about 2 million quid in cash.
Right.
So, you know, all you need is, and I think in Belize they have a couple of assets in Belize. One was a duster, and there's another one there. They think that the current board may try and drill, and everyone's saying no. Don't do that. It's not going to mean anything there. Please just get off the board. And there's a suggestion of putting a guy called Adam Reynolds in. And if you check him out, he's got a good track record.
Right.
So this is going to happen.
Am I invested in a duster?
Yeah, well, yeah, exactly. Pretty much, yes.
Yeah, I'm not an expert. That's not really what you dig oil out with, is it?
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Keeps your hands clean, though.
Mm. Oh, I see, right.
It keeps your hands nice and clean.
Right.
Basically, a duster.
£2 million or something from a placing, and the shareholders say, so what have you done? We've bought a duster.
We bought this.
Oh.
That's why there's lack of confidence, because they've bought a duster.
Okay. What is a duster, really, Justin?
Well, a duster is basically a supposed asset. So you to test it, they drill for it, nothing there. No proven hydrocarbons.
Just dust.
No asset. Yeah, pretty much, yeah. So if it's dust. If you look at the share price, it's been bouncing along around 0.05 pence. That's not half pence.
What's the ticker code there, my friend?
New.
Okay.
Now, this is going to come to a head sooner or later. So the guys with 11% new oil and gas can call an EGM and hopefully vote the board out and get Adam Reynolds in. This, you know, this, I don't know when it's going to happen, but, you know, what I'm saying is PRS have an exciting story. That's just three companies they invest in. They also invest in Metal Tiger, which I own separately anyway, which I quite like. And they invest in a couple of those stocks. And I mean, just think about that. But it's an exciting process. And Matt was on the podcast, and he's quite a sharp guy. And he said to me,
Paternoster.
Yeah, he's also CEO of Nostra Terra Oil and Gas.
Oh yes.
And he said, if anything, I think I've been a bit too conservative recently. He said, you're only 38, and I said, I don't think you have, Matt, because you know you're in a situation at the moment where you know the oil price collapsed, and luckily you didn't go a bit crazy trying to expand quickly, because that's when you go to the wall, you know, when the oil price collapses. But he is. Got a big chunk, 8% they've got of new, and they're working Metal Tiger.
Oh, right.
So I don't know when it's going to happen, but if you look at the share price of new oil and gas, it's only bouncing along that level, 0.05. So if you can pick them up around about that, 0.05, 0.06, you know, I wouldn't put too much in. It's just a nice little punt on, hopefully, a good situation coming out there. And I can't see anyone... really, any shareholder who's been happy with the performance of the share price. So anyone who turns up for the vote, I can't see them really, you know, saying, "Oh, I'm happy with these guys just, you know, drilling for nothing and spending lots of money and getting paid lots of money." Yeah, they're doing an excellent job. I just can't see that happening.
No.
It'll come to a head, and I think it's when they've got to call. They've got to call an AGM, I think. Before a certain time, I think it's before the end of the year. So what I'm saying is, you know, Paternoster undervalued, plus they have some very exciting, you know, stories happening here, and so they could take off. And it's, in fact, the last couple of days, PRS.
Yeah.
I mean, if you wanted total exposure, you know, you can go into new world oil and gas. But I mean, if you think that's a bit risky, new world oil and gas, then go to Paternoster Resources, and they hold new, and they hold Metal Tiger.
Yes, because I heard your podcast, you were talking about Paternoster earlier in the week, and so I sort of be watching the price, not diving in. But, you know, you then start to watch it climb, and you're kind of, it's your fear of missing out, isn't it, that kicks in then? So you're sort of, just take a little slice now.
It hasn't climbed for the last couple of days, though.
What?
Paternoster has.
Steve, what are you looking at? You're looking at the wrong thing.
I think I am, aren't I?
Steve, listen, it went up by 7.5% on Thursday.
Are you holding your computer upside down?
Yeah. Are you looking at the ticker code PISS, Steve?
Are you standing on your head while you're looking at your laptop?
You are. Maybe my computer's frozen.
In 2004,
sleeping in that goldfish bowl. But Steve, it's gone from, and I bought pretty much. I did manage. I took a leaf out of Paul's book. You know, Paul from Metal Tiger.
Yes.
He said, "Look at companies. Do some research." And don't wait for the spike. If you can see, you know, no interest in the company, but they've got nice little assets, just get in there.
Yeah.
And don't put too much in. Scale in. I said, and he said, because sooner or later, you know, the valuation will catch up. The share price will catch up with the valuation, and it'll jump. And those moves from the bottom are the most aggressive.
Yeah.
So if you're in the bottom, if you're bottom picking, it's quite good. As long as you can see a bit of a support level for a while. And if you look at Paternoster, right? Literally, yeah. It had from September the 15th to... pretty much, what is that? I can't see. No, September the 28th is from September the 1st up until the 28th. It didn't do anything. Just stayed long down. Hasn't done that before for a long time. Then it went, and it opened up higher and finished low and then dipped below just to shake the tree a bit, just to shake the, yep. Just dip below that support level, then shot up. And so that's why sometimes you can't put smoke levels in. You try to go with your gut and say, stay with it. And it shot up last three... So out of the last one, two, three, four, five... out of the last five trading sessions, Steve, it's gone up three times.
Mm.
And, you know, big moves like 7%, 10%. So I don't know when you bought them. I don't know what you're looking at.
No, I bought it on... where are we on now? We're on Thursday. Well, we'll record this on Thursday. Yeah, I bought it on, like, Tuesday, I think.
Well, then, Steve, you would have got it at 0.2... at 0.215 now, so it's gone up 7%.
So there we are. Maybe I put in the wrong one then.
As an experiment, I'm holding my laptop upside down, and that actually you do get a completely different perspective.
Well,
so just make sure you're not doing that, Steve.
Okay,
yeah.
All right. Okay.
That's my advice.
I'll double check on that and I'll report back what I've done wrong there.
I've got to say
one thing.
Okay.
Yeah, I want to say one thing though as well. Elephant oil, they're also in, okay, which is all elephants need oil.
right, obviously.
Shumba coal, Adiamo, and Plutus Power Gen, which I had on the podcast, and they're doing crap. Their share price is rallying like heck, and that's actually their biggest holding. And basically, what Plutus Power Gen do? They supply short-term power to the grid. So when there's and there's going to be a brownout. It's not like a night. It's not like checking Steve's pants after a night out. No, a brownout is when you get close to a blackout when there's no the grid can't produce enough, and that's going to happen apparently because we've got old power stations going offline. And so what's Plutus Power Gen do is step in there and provide short-term power to the grid. But that's the biggest holding. They're doing very well at the moment, and they've got Bison Energy Services. They're like the animals, aren't they?
Obsessed.
But so almost all. Look at these companies that are not being spoken about. And there's some cracking little resources amongst Paternoster Resources, and I'd like them a lot.
My question was about spread with these little stocks.
Oh, I like a spread, me too.
Yeah, there we go. Yep.
Oh, what a fantastic spread you put on, Peter.
Yep.
Is that just for me and Steve? Oh, we'll get through it.
A 10% spread for you, yes. So do you just, if you like, swallow that spread?
Yes.
At these little stocks, because they're obviously much, much bigger, percentage-wise, they're much bigger spread than your big lumbering dividend-paying stocks, aren't they?
Yeah, I've had a filter one with a spread, and I cut out anything above 10%. Then I thought, hang on, I'm missing out on a couple here.
Yeah.
As long as the volume's there, it's fine, because they can cover that in a session easily.
Yeah.
So, I've opened up my filter to 20% on the spread. But sometimes, obviously, that spread changes, you know? If there's a bit of news, a bit of volatility there, then a bit of volume comes through the spread. And it's all about market makers, essentially. You know, it depends. If market makers see a lot of demand for the company, then they'll open up the spread, try and get some people to sell or whatever, you know, and try and flush them out. But, so sometimes you have to play the game and go with it, swallow it. Swallow the spread. Oh, it's a lovely spread you've put on there, Peter.
Okay, good.
Is that pate?
Right, these podcasts do tend to sort of then disintegrate, don't they, near the end?
Yeah, well, that's because, any other things worth chatting about? So what I'm saying is, I think, I have a little punt on a couple of these exciting things. I think Paternoster is a very, it's undervalued.
Yes.
And it's a very good to play on a couple of exciting stocks.
Okay.
And a couple of the ones I know is exciting, the ones I don't know, maybe even more exciting, They may have silent giants amongst them. You never know,
Good point.
Hello, I'm a giant. I'm very silent. I'm tiptoeing. Can you see me?
Yeah. The BFG.
Yes.
Mm, yeah.
The big... anyways.
Right.
All right, so anything else, Steve? Any more questions about anything, Steve? Anything at all? What's your main concern in life? Are you dating at the moment?
That's your main concern. Your main concern is Steve dating at the moment?
Yeah, well, are you dating Peter? No. I worry about you, but you're not even putting any effort in, Peter, are you?
No, I'm not.
I think Pete's got the right idea here, because I'm putting lots of effort in at the moment, and it almost goes the other way when you do that. So, in theory, Pete, you should have women being thrown at you.
Right. What should I do?
There's a lesson there, isn't it? Steve's putting in lots of effort.
Yeah.
Pete's putting in no effort. You're both getting the same result.
So what is that lesson?
It's like essentially two people racing on a bike. One's on a bike, push bike, really pending sweat, sweating like a crazy fool. Yeah. And the one guy just freewheels past you.
Yeah.
Yay!
And what are you doing?
Yeah, what effort are you putting in, Steve? You're going to gay bars. That's not an effort, is it?
Yeah. Sitting at home watching.
I'm on dating websites and stuff now. I'm actually putting some effort into it.
Okay. I'm watching a lot of porn.
Yeah.
Yeah. He said, yeah.
Yeah.
So, what dating websites are you on, Steve?
I'm on Match. Well, only that one, actually.
Grindr.
No.
How about a website called Mix and Match?
Right. What will happen there?
I don't know, you just press a button, something spins around.
Right.
And it comes up with a lady saying, "You were dating her this Thursday, 2 p.m. And you have to go.
Oh, right, I see. Like forcing people to date.
Yeah.
That might be worth it. Yeah. Pick and mix.
Yeah.
Mix and match. Okay, that's it. And that concludes today's podcast. Yeah.
Don't buy any shares on what we've said. Do your own research, and especially mine, because I'm clearly buying the wrong shares.
Yeah, you are.
Yeah. And looking at the wrong graphs. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. All right, lads. Well, have a nice weekend.
Yeah, you too.
Steve, keep persevering.
Thanks.
All right.
Will do.
And Pete, keep not trying. Seems to be working out for you.
Yeah,
you're
doing
really well there. Yeah. Lovely. All right.
Okay. Fine. Cheers, guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
The ADBFN podcast with Justin Waite.